streaming online at kbps.am.
Welcome aboard, everyone. I am Sean Phillipson, KBPS Summer Sound Supervisor. And in just a few moments, we are going to be playing a couple of interviews that we have lined up for you during the hour. The first part is with U-Tree, who goes by the name of Steve Lenkowski. He has amassed over 625,000 subscribers on YouTube and over 1.2K videos uploaded since August 10th of 2010 on his current channel, followed by Adam Jackson, who goes by 5 Points Vids in the second half of the interview. He has amassed almost 394,000 subscribers and over 1.5K videos uploaded to his channel all the way back, started on April 3rd of 2013. It's going to be a fun one. I hope you all enjoy it. We'll start off right off the bat with the interview with U-Tree, Steve Lenkowski. Joining me on the program, he goes by Urinating Tree, Steve Lenkowski. U-Tree, welcome aboard, man. Great to have you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be back here, man. It's been a couple years since I've been in Portland. It's good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely, man, because it's been since, what, 2023 that you had been here for your first ever appearance, first time ever in the Northwest?
Absolutely, yes. I've been in California a couple times, first time in Oregon. So
yeah,
that was the first time I've been in this fine state so far. I mean, coming in outside off the airport, it's really humid in Pittsburgh right now, and it's like the comparison I have, it's like conversing to my taint. It's just like it sticks to you when it comes outside. But coming out here, it's sunny, it's dry, it's nice. I'm like, oh, where has this been all summer?
Yeah.
Nothing but rain and heat. That's what it's really been.
Oh, without question, yeah, because here at Oregon, we usually tend to have the best summer weather possible out of the last 3 months of the from June to August. It's great weather here.
Absolutely.
I know we had a couple years ago where we had a huge heat wave going over 110 degrees, and we set new records for that too, man. It was crazy. But right off the bat, man, you've been doing YouTube work since 2010, but as early, I think, as
2006.
2006?
Yes.
2006, all right. And talk about what you've been doing in your early echelon of YouTube to where you're at today.
Ah, so the early days, like, the big thing was Angry Video Game Nerd back in the day. So my thing was, it was also to kind of do some stuff for college, because I was at Point Park University for broadcast journalism. So it was also something to like kind of get my feet wet in that regard, not really network, but more or less just generate skills. Figured I would do something. I think my first video was November 2006. And this was when YouTube was just starting out. The big subscriber count, I think, was like 80,000. Lonely Girl 15, I think, was the big one. And nobody knows who that is now. It's like, it was just people talking in front of a camera. It's like, it was the Wild West. You couldn't actually put any copyrighted stuff on there because Viacom slammed it down.
Years later, you develop your YouTube craft into sports-related documentaries. Talk a little about that.
So what more or less happened was I took a break from it for a while. Like, I stopped, like, 2010. Like, a lot of the early stuff is, like, kind of out there. It was just for, like, just for the heck of it. I was like, you know, I was in radio for a couple years, but didn't really pan out. Board op for a cluster of radio stations in Pittsburgh, 100.7 Star, Y108. And that was our main cluster. But what happened was CBS Radio at the time was looking to sell. They ended up selling to Entercom, which became Odyssey, but they went through rounds of layoffs. So I had gone from 10 to 15 hours a week to 10 to 15 a month. So by that point, I thought it was done. I'm like, okay, it's not working out. It's just, guess what it is. I was working a couple restaurant jobs at the time, so I felt like it was like I wasn't really getting anywhere there either. So what ended up happening was actually the 2016 election. So what actually ended up happening was I felt like just doing a quick rant. I've had put up an old copy of Windows Movie Maker. I had this really rickety Radio Shack microphone that I had lying in my bedroom. You can hear like the cracks going on in the background. I'm like, oh man, this is taking me back to 2007.
Yeah, those old mics, man, they were, you know, pretty trashy back in those days.
Microphone quality's come a long way, especially in terms of how mainstream it is now. Like, you had Blue Yetis that started really coming into play. I mean, nowadays, like, if you have a certain setup, like, I have a Rode microphone now, so I have that relatively solid, but I remember at the time, it's just something I just thought would be a one and done. It was just something that's just, okay, three and a half minutes, just say my piece, get out. And it's just like, it was just me scripting like in an hour. It wasn't anything crazy there. And what ended up happening was that creative spark came back. So what ended up happening after the fact, it's like, okay, you know what? I'll just do a bunch of random videos, see what it goes. It was just a lot of stuff that's just like random. It wasn't anything like beat path to it. What actually got me into the sports genre was in 2016, the Cleveland Browns were at their first try for 0-16. So this was the year that the San Diego Chargers, they screwed everything up by shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly. Josh Lambeau kicks it wide right, I believe, and that's why they went 1-16. So my thinking was, there was a video at the time, I think it's still up, it's called Only in Cleveland, a history of the Browns after the merger, or after the move. And it is a fantastic piece. There's a lot of B-roll that I've never been able to find. I don't know who made it. It was a re-upload back at the time. But the problem is it only goes up to the beginning of the Haslam era. So there was a lot of stuff that happened that never got mentioned in like a five-year span. So what I was thinking, why not try to bridge that gap between that video and the modern era? So that ends up becoming the Cleveland Browns video. The first one that I did, I thought it was going to be a one and done. It was like a challenge to me in some ways, because it's like I'm kind of like getting a feel of what happens there. You're trying to find your style. There's still like a lot of like rough, loose edges that need to be found there. And I mean, I enjoyed doing it, and I thought it was just going to be, okay, just a one-off, one and done, and just go from there. Lo and behold, a month later, I'm still making videos, getting the creative release out. You know, it's that honeymoon phase that more or less comes into like, okay, I found it again. I just wanted to do stuff. It wasn't like trying to be famous or anything. It's just creative release. But so the Jacksonville Jaguars had completely bottomed out by this year before Saxonville era. So they did have some promise, but Blake Bortles was just a mess. And I'm just sitting there like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing? And I'm just like, why don't I just make a video about it? So that becomes the Jacksonville Jaguars video. And just, I guess I just ran with it after a while. And I'm just like, all right, you know what? It's just a bunch of teams I just want to randomly do. They're like 3 to 5 minute segments and just go from there. What really had to take off was one that I thought was just like a challenge to me at the time. It was the Haters Guide to the NFL Playoffs. Because the videos, they weren't getting views at the time, but I didn't really care about that because it's just like, I'm just doing it for fun. I'm just doing it just for the heck of it, if I should say. So my thinking was, okay, like I want to challenge myself. I don't want to do the same video over and over again. So I'm thinking, all right, let's just do like a quick clips on the playoffs and see where it goes from there. One night when it happened, I think it was the day after, I think I went from 550 subscribers at the time. Most of those were older from like, you know, a long time. I remember waking up in the morning and seeing 650 subscribers. I had to do a double take like, what? Really? I mean, I'm just sitting there like, this has to be a mistake. Because, like, Dormant Channel, you suddenly get 100 subscribers overnight. I'm like, whoa. Hold on. And it just slowly kind of ballooned from there. I thought it was a one-off. So I think it ended up getting, I think, like 15,000 views at the time, which for a channel of my stature is ridiculous. I mean, you don't really get that from, like, when you're averaging, like, a couple hundred at the time. And it just turns into, like, 15,000. I'm like, wait, what? And then you think like, okay, it's not going to happen again. So yeah, I just think it's a fluke. So it's like, whatever, I'll do the Super Bowl, see how it goes. And that ends up getting 50 to 60,000, I believe, which I'm just like, okay. So I'm thinking at the time, like, okay, there's some pipe here. There's something here I need to keep digging. I enjoyed doing it at the time. I kept going and lo and behold, I'm somehow here almost 10 years later. So, I mean, I can't believe it either, but I mean, it's taken me a lot of places, man. I mean, I didn't think I'd be in Portland, Oregon, playing charity baseball poorly for the Alzheimer's Association. I mean, I've done, like, so many different things. I've been so many different places that I never would have been. So, I mean, it's kind of an honor and a blessing in ways.
Did you ever find that with your creative work on YouTube that you would find a level of success being on the channel?
Not really. I mean, I'm going to be honest there. I just expected maybe a couple videos, a couple people saying I'm suck, and then I just go on with things. I would just do random stuff. As I said, I just wasn't really doing it for the fame or the money, because it's just like, okay, it's a bonus, more or less. I mean, it was just it's like for creative release. And I mean, if I didn't get anywhere with it, it's still like, okay, I got creative release out of it. So It is what it is. There are a bunch of people that fail on YouTube. I mean, I've had different iterations myself. Mr. Beast had a couple different iterations. Five Points had different iterations. Like, he was a Madden YouTuber before he started doing this sort of thing. Flemlo was an NCAA YouTuber. And Brandon Perna tried his own different thing once or twice as well. So as I said, we all go through different phases. Sometimes we find something that clicks. Sometimes it'll fall. Sometimes we may rise again in a different click. So once again, it's just, it's a mystery, and I don't really, it's hard to really put a formula on it because it differs from person to person.
Another YouTuber that I watched in the mid-2010s was Arios. He would have his play-by-play commentary on YouTube and NBA 2K, and then at the end of the gameplay, he would have this template out of ESPN with game highlights that he added to the video package of it, along with the final score and the box score that came into it. He was one of my inspirations of YouTube when I mingled with it for a short time myself. Ultimately, I decided to stop and move on to different pastures, but it was nice for that short time for me gravitating towards that type of content.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're, I've never seen Arios, but I've seen Chris Smooth before, and I think that's pretty comparable for NBA 2K. I remember seeing his stuff back in like 2013, 2014, just randomly, and just getting hooked on that. So it's like, I think he's still doing stuff too, I believe. So
yeah, he is still moving strong. I think about 4 or 5 million subs for his channel, because there's a dedicated fan base to him that now he's able to post recap NBA content that he wasn't able to publish on his channel for a couple years, because I think there was a legal thing with the NBA prohibiting people from doing that for copyrighted work. But now that he's able to do that again with recaps, he's able to gravitate towards that audience that like to have those short 2 to 3 minute bit recap pieces.
Yes, I think he was starting to do that when I first started. Yep. Like, I was kind of following him, but now I think he's more or less pivoted towards that. I know, like, with the dynamic with sports, like, team or like leagues from when I started to now, it's changed dramatically. I remember MLB used to be very stringent with their material. And then, like, once in a while, they finally embrace social media with John Boy, more or less. Like, they're actually affiliated with him now. You tell them 10 years ago that they would have been doing that? Oh, no. Not at all. The NFL, like, they are not the type to actively partner with people, but they're okay with it. They'll just take the ad revenue from it. So it's like, it's all right, it's a trade-off. I use your footage, you get the ad revenue. And I think they're honestly okay with that. It's just publicity to them, honestly. NHL's kind of 50-50. Some they claim, some don't. The NBA is usually the most social media friendly, so they don't really, like, claim anything. They've been the most, like, savvy and forward with that. But as I said, it's interesting to see, like, different dynamics. And then you get, like, FIFA and the IOC, and they claim everything. And I mean everything. You try to look for the breakdancing girl from Australia, not there. Every time they try uploading it, flagged by the IOC. I've never actually been able to see a full, like, unedited version of that dance because the IOC flags it down every time.
YouTube sensation U-Tree here on the program on KBPS SummerSound 2025. As of this recording, U-Tree, you have amassed over 1,200 videos, over 625,000 subscribers over your decade plus. Talk about with you the formula with how you publish videos. Is it sporadic with what you do, depending on what comes up? Or I know during the NFL season, maybe to our listeners who aren't aware of this, you do post NFL recaps every Tuesday.
It's every Wednesday.
Wednesdays.
It used to be Tuesdays, but the problem is it gets so, like,
convoluted
and, like, just complex where, like, I had to push it back.
You also have met 5 Points Vids over the years, and you two have had some collaborations with your podcast, Clickbait Sports, among with many other YouTube personalities, Scooter Magruder, and among others. Talk about how that came up.
Well, what actually happened with Clickbait Sports was 5 Points and I have been doing a stream since 2017. We talked about it for a while. It's called the Dumpster Fire. It's on a separate channel, but we've been doing it, I mean, late 2017 is when we first started. I think you see the first one is just nothing but a blank screen in the background. It used to be just 5 Points just with one screen. Like, we didn't have like multiple mic setups. I was in my basement at the time. It was like my old grandma's house. There was nowhere to really do it because like my sister was having game nights upstairs,
right,
working with that. So it was like, we've been doing like going strong there. But well, how Clickbait came to be, I believe it was Brandon and Five's idea. They first wanted to do something in 2021. Brandon pitched the idea to me, and then they pitched the idea to Tom. It was originally going to be us four. And the first, like, trial video I do pretty much came to that. And it, we didn't even talk about anything. It was just like we kept randomly getting donations at the time. And I'm like, wait, we're not even talking about anything. What are we doing here? But it's, what actually ended up happening is that Scooter wanted to join in. So he's like, he feels like the Stephen A. Smith kind of role, I would say. I know there are a lot of people that don't like that sort of thing, but I feel like he keeps us on track, but also distracts us about the Dallas Cowboys every single time. It's a give and you take. Like, I mean, the thing is, like, it's not even an act. He truly believes what he says. And he'll say in the background, it's like, seriously, you guys don't believe the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl? And it's like, oh, I wish I had the drugs you were on, my man.
Cowboy, I hate to confess on this, but I will. When I was probably 3 or 4 years old, I had a family portrait, and I was wearing Dallas Cowboys sweater and sweats. The most embarrassing thing that I've had to wear in my life. I'm more of since I was born in the Northwest, I live and die by the Seahawks. Much like you, you're in the East Coast area, and you support, in a way, I guess,
the Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, or Steelers, as you would mention, yeah, in your commentary. Talk about the acquisitions that the Steelers have gotten.
It's been an interesting offseason. I think what's happening is they want to believe they can still go for it, and they're trying to shake things up with a lot of veteran moves. If this were 2020 or 2019, these would be big moves. DK Metcalf is a wide receiver. I mean, when they acquired him, I knew George Pickens was gone. They have the same skill set. They're not paying George Pickens $20 million, especially at the final game he had against Cincinnati. Aaron Rodgers was the long rumor. I don't think he has anything left in the tank. 41, major Achilles injury. If you have issues at tackle on the offensive line, it's going to be an ugly year, but Najee Harris is gone. You acquired Jonnu Smith, although you already have Pat Freiermuth, so you have a lot of different, probably two tight end sets you're going to be doing there. TJ Watt, big extension for him, as we all expected, $41 million a year for 3 years. You just hope he stays healthy. Wrong side of 30, though. Minka Fitzpatrick is gone, but I think the thing there is that if you actually look at him play, he hasn't really been the impact player they've expected out of him. I've mostly been a situation where He's been okay, but he's not worth the pay grade he's been at. So they try to gamble on Jalen Ramsey. And I don't know if he has anything left in the tank either, but they're going to use him as more like a cornerback two slot safety, or a slot corner, I would say. You have Darius Slay as well, so I'm guessing they might be using him as safety. But it's one of those things where it's like you're kind of treading the tires. It reminds me a lot of how the Indianapolis Colts were a couple years ago, where you bring in stopgap veteran quarterbacks to try and get them over the hump, but it didn't really work for them. And I feel like with the Steelers, you brought in, you know, Kenny Pickett didn't work out. You bring in Russell Wilson. He was good for a little bit, then he imploded, and that's why he's in New York right now, unfortunately. They're going to try it with Aaron Rodgers, and I mean, the draft is in Pittsburgh next year, so if this flops, they are going to go heavy quarterback. I think they're going to make either a big trade, or they're going to, like, look at a quarterback who drops, like, to, you know, number top 5, top 10. They'll probably trade up because they do have some draft capital to work with.
Joined by YouTuber Utree on KDPS Summer Sound. Utree, you are going to take part in the YouTube Melonheads game against the All-Stars of the Portland Pickles. You were a part of it.
Yes.
What is the over or under of you going to try to get yourself a hit?
Oh, well, I mean, hey, in North Carolina, I had the walk-off 11-run pity hit. The form was terrible, but it's something. Hey, I hit the baseball. I'm like, whoa, I hit it? Oh, my God. I'm like, I forgot. But, I mean, in terms of a hit, it's more or less, well, we're raising funds for the Alzheimer's Association. I mean, I do put some pressure on myself. I just want to make sure I don't suck. But, I mean, real, it's probably going to be a lot of sucking. I mean, I think the narrative I'm going to be working with is pretending I'm going to try and get a minor league contract. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Before we let you go, in the actual radio booth,
yes,
we have two options for you, and we want to figure out which one works for you. Because, you know, I know you have to get some grub Burritos or tacos? Which do you prefer?
I actually had a burrito at the Chicago airport that was really good. I'm going to say burritos.
All right, that trims it down. 6-5, tacos the advantage right now as of this recording. Yeah, Jacob Dean, who's our KBPS broadcasting instructor, and his wife both agree tacos was the best. And for weeks, I have said burritos are the best. They come in large portions, and there's no better way to have a burrito than a chunk one.
I guess it depends on the taco. If you get like a really good street taco with like thick steak, I would say that's probably the best way. But otherwise, with a burrito, I mean, you have that rich, compact flavor, especially when it's well made. Oh, dude, you can't go wrong with that.
All the merchandise that you have are going to be proceeded to the Alzheimer's Association?
Absolutely, yes, sir. So I know you're wearing the jersey right now. It looks fantastic on you, by the way. I will say that. But it's all proceeds go to the Alzheimer's Association. That's mainly why we're doing this for. It's a charity baseball game. So I think they're doing the Mascot Olympics the same night, I believe. So I think it's, last time we were there, there were a couple thousand people there. It was pretty packed.
Yeah, a little over 2,000, I do believe, if my memory is right for that. It was a great occasion, and I'm sure we may even surpass maybe 3,000 people, honestly.
That's crazy.
This weekend, because you among all the other YouTube celebrities or on-air personalities, let's call it as it is, yeah. Personalities that are going to be playing for charity, and it's going to be a fun event for you guys.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be a great night.
Thanks for the time, U-Tree. Thanks for listening to the special interview here on AM 1450 KBPS Portland. That was U-Tree's interview over the weekend. And I actually went to the Pickles All-Star game, which featured the YouTube Melonheads. And here is what U-Tree had to talk about in the post game last night. Pickles post game. I'm joined by U-Tree. Your team had 5 hits. Unfortunately, you didn't get a run, but this was a lot of fun for this charity event tonight.
It absolutely was. I mean, I was expecting a little more out of our team today, unfortunately, but things kind of fell off the rails after the 5th inning. It's just how it goes. We didn't have the pitching. We just didn't have the manpower to keep up with them. But otherwise, I would say, I mean, it was a great time, great event, a lot of memories. I mean, Scarlett got engaged, so that's a great moment for her. Congratulations to her and her hubby coming up. But, I mean, it's always fun to come out here. Support Alzheimer's Association. I mean, we're probably going to be in Burlington next year, too, probably for charity as well. But I'm happy for 5. I mean, he's been looking for that hit for a long time, man.
I'm sure he has. Yeah, he got himself a hit, too. A great achievement for him as well. So what's next for you coming up on YouTube?
Well, for me, I'm revving up for NFL season right now. I'm looking for MLB trade deadline. I'll be doing a live stream for that. Probably, I believe it's on the 31st of the 1st, I believe. I'll have a video out for this probably later this week, as well as a few others. NHL free agency. I'm working on a few legacies of failure right now. But otherwise, it's mostly just the same old, same old. Prep for sports ball, NFL season. It's going to be year number 9. I can't believe it, but, you know, just how time flies, man.
Time flies, to be sure. Thank you very much, Tree.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean.
That was U-Tree again, Steve Lukowski, on the post-game interview featuring the Portland Pickles against the YouTube Melonheads. It was a 16-0 defeat for the Melonheads. They did come away with 5 hits, but the All-Stars of the Portland Pickles just outscored them wildly and rapidly during the Mascot Olympics theme night last night. Following the break, we're going to be playing 5 Points Vids video. Adam Jackson, also a YouTuber himself. You do not want to miss out on the interview I have with 5 Points Vids coming up following a break here on AM 1450, KBPS Portland, and KBPS.AM.